Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Every Monday we speak or we talk with TD. Teron Davenport on the line, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He covers the Titans. Teron, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Hey, what's going on? Everything's good.
What did you make of Commissioner Goodell's message over the weekend?
I mean, I really don't know what to make of it, honestly. It's good that he came out and made a statement and said some of the things he said, but it's almost like something that had to happen after what the players did as far as the video is concerned. And really, when it comes down to it, he's the face, right? So it's almost out of obligation. He said it. That's really how I look at it.
Look, I chuckled too. I mean, that was my first reaction a little bit, and I guess I'm struggling with the same thing you are. What's the on a scale of 1 to 10? What's the believable factor of scale of 1 to 10 of how he truly feels, how the league truly feels, and what does this mean moving forward? What does this mean for the league moving forward? What is going to happen on game days in 2020, and how will the league respond? These are some questions that I have.
Yeah. I mean, it's just all things that we'll see. That's
they're going to back them up
down to,
or, I can't imagine that there's going to be punishment in these times, right? I mean, the backlash would be astronomical. I mean, when you have him saying that, at least that's a step in the right direction. Whether we both chuckle at first, at least it's a step in the right direction. If they are acknowledging, they're acknowledging this, and they're even acknowledging the past. So for me, while I chuckle a little bit, I also know that there is a little bit of positive that came out of this.
Yeah, but my question is, what about Colin Kaepernick? Why is he listed on the league site as having been retired? Why isn't he in the list of available players? So, I get it. It is a step, and I'll agree with you, and they are acknowledging some things, but why is Colin Kaepernick still not mentioned?
I'm really curious about that, how they try to deal with that, because I don't think they can just move past it at this point. It's too obvious. And a long time has passed, and this guy has lost. I remember saying so many times, you cannot tell me he's not better than a lot of at least the backups. If you want to argue he's not a first-rate starter, that's one thing. But that's one they're going to have to face. They're going to have to look themselves in the mirror and say, what do we do? And it's not easy.
I mean, no doubt.
And how many seasons has it been now? Four? Three?
Yep.
Four.
It's three. I want to say three seasons.
Yeah, because it started at 4 years ago. But, it's been three seasons.
Well, this will be – I guess this will be the fourth.
Yeah. Well, no, it started 4 seasons. Remember when he was playing, and then this has been – how many years now has he been out of the league?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was out – because when he was out 17, 18, 19, and now this will be 20.
Yeah. It's the whole thing started 4 years ago, though, in 2016.
Right.
So the point is that I don't know if you have the answer to Ron, is where is Kaepernick in all this? You know, this is some really important stuff going on in our country, and it does seem like a corner has been turned. Where is he in all this?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if you noticed, but he actually set up a fund to, you know, for those who were arrested during the protest. He set up a fund to provide legal counsel for them. He's continued his $1 million pledge, which, of course, it doesn't necessarily fit the narrative, so it hasn't gotten the coverage, but he has pledged to $1 million of his own money to fight, you know, defend the causes that he took a knee for: systemic oppression, racism, police brutality, and these things. So he's definitely very much in the mix. You know, a lot of people don't even know that at one point he went to New York and he worked with a clothing designer, and for men who were getting out 100 custom suits for men who were coming out of prison looking to rejoin the workforce. He provided 100 custom suits for these guys to be able to wear on interviews and things like that. But again, the narrative, right? It's all about shifting the narrative, shifting the paradigm, to use a corporate term. And, you know, the good things that this man has taken part in, it doesn't get the same type of attention that, you know, quote unquote, disrespecting the flag does. And I mean, we could talk for a long time about that, but I'll just leave it there. He has been doing a lot of positive things, and he has worked to support and promote change to what it is that he has stood for.
Well said. Teron Davenport is with us. I think the number one thing you said, Teron, that I think is true 100%. And how it's going to manifest itself will be the important thing. We do have a paradigm shift, right? There's more conversations happening. There's more people feeling more empowered to speak their mind. I hope there's more people willing not just to listen, but to really intently listen, to try to, you know, and then the question is, where do we go? How do we turn that into some positive changes here? And and so we will see. But that's, you know, I think you're right to be a little bit, you know, inquisitive of, you know, where it will go from there. Because I think it's a legit question. I mean, if this were 1 year removed from the controversy of Colin Kaepernick, then and he hadn't aged for 3 years. Because remember, last year he did the tryout, right? He still felt last year he was good enough to play. But he's now a year older. But I go back and think, you know, what? How much have we shifted at least our thoughts on what he did and why he did it, based on what we thought maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when, as you said, the narrative changed so quickly, it became about something completely different from where he intended to start it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And, you know, that's kind of... You see those tactics, the redirection and trying to shape opinion. You see that in a lot of things. And it doesn't surprise me that it happened in this case. And I believe it's going to continue to happen. You see it now, right, with the different things that are going on in various cities, even though it's pretty obvious that there are large groups that really have nothing to do with the actual cause of the protests and rallies and the actual, you know, message that people are trying to send. So, yeah, I mean, it's always going to be shifted.
So, Teron, in the meantime, I think this morning, as the league tries to start action of, you know, getting the players prepared, getting the teams prepared, they sent out a memo to the teams. I don't know if you've had a chance to look it over. I think this just came out this morning. But just trying to go through some of the things that the habits will have to be changed to try to get into the groove of having the players and the staff at the facility.
Yeah, I thought it was really good to see that. They broke it down into tiers. The players will be able to come back at some point, but it was really interesting how they mentioned reconfiguring the locker room, right? So now you're going to have a little more of they're trying to go with every other locker, and I'm not sure how that's going to work, especially being as though there are going to be so many players, you know, in there.
You almost need an extra room, right? You almost need two locker rooms now. You have to double the size, and it's already pretty big, right?
I know from being in Philly, what the Eagles would do is they would have the little, like it's basically a portable locker, and they would line the middle of the locker room up with that. So they were able to get, you know, a good 20 to 25 additional lockers in there by doing that. But still, that's during the time when you have when you have so many players on the roster for that time before the cutdowns happen.
I read all this stuff, and I think it's prudent to do, right? You want to try to do everything you can to prevent the spread of the virus, somebody contracting, and setting the example for everybody else. But I do wonder, you know, as it filters down to the high schools, to some colleges that don't have the budgets to reconfigure their locker room or have virtual meetings. I mean, maybe they can, but and I'm sure they'll do what they can. But I can't see a high school team being able to do all this stuff. I'm just wondering how that is all going to work. These are just thoughts I had as this pops up there. I just hope there's an effort made by everybody, because I like that they're trying to almost go above and beyond in a lot of cases for the NFL to try to do the right things. I mean, I can tell you a lot of facets in life I see, people are not going to this degree to try to do the distancing and some of the things that have been suggested.
Yeah, unfortunately, I forget, there was a school, I forget which college it was, but they actually had to, you know, shut down their football program. And I think you're going to see that happen across the board in different levels, right? College and high school, because football is it's a contact sport. So you're naturally going to be in touch with other people, and it is an area where, you know, a lot of the things with this COVID-19 can be spread. So unfortunately, I wouldn't be surprised if there are more that continue to have to just, you know, call it quits.
We're talking to Teron Davenport of ESPN, the Titans NFL Nation reporter for them, also talking with TD, the podcast, and I definitely need to check out last week's episode and this week's when it comes out for sure. But Teron, a couple of Titans questions. You know, we got to ask about Clowney. It seems like we do that every week, but reports coming out that the Seahawks had offered him $15 million. I've seen that Cleveland, it was around $18 million. He has not accepted either one of those. The Titans in a waiting game, I guess. Do all these just continue to point to what we've all said on this show when we've had you on, that we feel like he wants to be here if the price is right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything has changed from last week to this week as far as that. I think it's if the price is right, but also the fit is right. So that's already there. We'll see what happens, but I definitely continue to feel that the Titans are the best spot for him to land.
I don't know what the protocol is about bringing a player in now, but with the facilities somewhat starting to reopen, could you see us actually getting some news maybe in the next couple of weeks, that now that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are able to meet face-to-face and potentially meet with Clowney?
Yeah, and I think it goes just beyond John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, because remember, medical staff is allowed to be in the building as well. Now, how they're able to get him in there is something, because in looking over the memo, it said that you have to submit a list of you know, tier two players that are going to be allowed into the facility, and then you have to have a separate entrance for them. So everything is becoming much more, I don't know what the exact word is, it's being handled with much more intense scrutiny, I guess you could say it that way. So I'm not sure if he is able to, if an outside free agent is able to come into the building. That's something that I think probably needs to be addressed within these memos. But if they could get him in, I think that would obviously help.
Now, you were a part of something kind of neat that the NFL Nation reporters did on ESPN.com. I enjoyed this, redrafting the league, where basically every player becomes a free agent. You guys used the draft order from this year, from the past draft, and did four rounds. You had the Titans, of course. You took Tyreek Hill with the 29th overall pick, and then Cam Newton, Fletcher Cox, and Jair Alexander is the four players you selected for the Titans. I thought this was kind of a fun exercise. What led you to take those four players?
Yeah, well, as that draft happened in that first round, guys just started to get picked so quickly, man. When you talk about quarterbacks, you know, one of the guys I had my eyes, I was thinking Tannehill, I was thinking Teddy Bridgewater, but these guys went. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take the most explosive player in the league. That's really why I picked Tyreek Hill. And then I came back and more quarterbacks continued to go. So I said, well, you know what? Let me just get Cam. I know, you know, you have a drop off from his MVP season, but I still feel like he has some good football left in him. So I took him. I also just went from the read option perspective, being able to give teams something else to look at and consider, and that's something that you could go to as an additional option on third and short and those short yardage situations. So I went that way, and then I looked at a bunch of guys. I wanted to, you know, Calais Campbell was somebody on my mind, but, you know, Fletcher Cox remains one of my favorite defensive tackles, my favorite defensive players, period. And I had to go with him. The value was just, it was too good. And I think he is a top-tier defensive player. So I went that route. And then I wanted to get somebody that could coverage. I got somebody that could impact the passer. So I came back with a guy that is quietly one of the best cover corners in the league, but no one talks about him. But we'll be talking about him because the Titans play the Packers this year. And you'll see Jair Alexander, and he is a top-level cover corner. So I grabbed him and just left it at that.
Can't believe you let Derrick Henry get taken by the Bears. Come on, TD.
Somebody else grabbed him before me. I can't tell other people not to pick. You know, somebody else grabbed him. Because that was actually what I was going to do in that third round, was grab Derrick Henry and then come back. And I figured Fletcher Cox would be gone. So I said, well, Calais Campbell would be there. I'll grab him as the final defensive player.
Talking with TD coming up this week. What you got?
I'm working on some things. We're just going to talk shop, though. I'm working on a Titans player, a former Titans player. We'll see how that goes. It's just the back and forth is, you know, we're working on it. So we'll see what happens. But as always, it'll be a solid show.
We will look forward to it. Hey, appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN. We'll have more coming. Darren Donican Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, we just talked a little about the NFL and the Titans with Teron Davenport, and it's pretty interesting. Something that was put up on ESPN.com literally during that interview was about defensive tackle Jarrell Casey. He was on Double Coverage Podcast, which is hosted by Devin and Jason McCourty, the twins. And Jarrell Casey was a guest of theirs, and this was his quote. This part, the part that is so crazy is that you give so much to them, especially when you come up on free agency and have opportunities to go somewhere else, especially the way it was going when we were 2-14, 3-13. Those were some rough times when you're a loyal guy and you feel like things are going in the right direction and you're that centerpiece, you got no choice but to fight it through. My mindset was to stick it out and things would get better. And he just goes on and basically just feeling a little bit slighted by the trade to Denver.
Yeah, you can just tell in reading this, and I read through it during the break that TD put out, just how hurt he is and just how ugly of a business this can be sometimes, that it's just, and you always hear that phrase of it's a business. And we know that, but not getting, you know, he heard from his agent that he was being shopped. He didn't hear from the Titans. He didn't hear from them until right before the trade was happening. And I can understand, with as much time as Jarrell Casey put in on this team and gave to this franchise, I mean, that's got to sting.
It's been a business for a long time. But I think as this is one of the, I guess, realities of the analytics emphasis on all of these sports, is it has become even more just data-driven. I think baseball's got a major problem with that. And that, I think, is contributing to where they are in their negotiations, because I think the players are seeing it, and there's even less. I mean, it's been a business for a long time, but I think it's even less of a human side now. I think there was a time where I think a class player, class leader like Jarrell Casey might have been given a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. Hey, let's stay loyal to this guy. He's been good to us. Yeah, he's, you know, age is catching up to him. He may not be worth that, but he's earned it, right? Let's keep him on for another year, and maybe he'll bounce back and have a great year. I just think there's less of that going on. It's more of the what do the numbers tell us? His age, what are the percentage chances? Hey, we can trade his contract and get a seventh rounder back and have that money to go get somebody younger, maybe like a Jadeveon Clowney. Time will tell. I just think that it's much more cut and dried with that kind of thing. So I completely understand the player's perspective on that. Why wouldn't they feel like that? When Shea Weber was traded for PK Subban, I think he had a lot of those same feelings. Right, and because he knew it was really more about the contract and his age than anything else. But there's no way that David Poile could express that to Shea Weber and say, Shea, I love you as a guy. You were one of the classiest guys. That just didn't – Shea Weber couldn't hear that. He didn't want to hear that at the time. Maybe someday he'll come around to it. Maybe he feels a little bit different now over time. But that stung very, very badly. But at the same time, that's the reality of – the business, when your job as a general manager is to sustain your team in the window as long as you can, you have to make tough decisions like that.
So it was about what again with Shea Weber? Say that again.
His contract, which David Poile did not sign him to, it was the offer sheet by Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. And what?
And his age. Oh, he's so 3.5 years older than PK
Subban. Let's just say this out loud again. So it was about a big contract and age.
Yep.
Wonder what there it was about with Jarrell Casey.
Big contract, age.
Big contract and age. Let's go over to Bill Belichick, who's standing by at our desk. Let's get his thoughts on this and how this works. Guys, I get both sides.
He invented it, right?
It's just silly. I mean, it's any profession. It's not just football. It's not bad. It's not any sport. It's every sport. It's every profession. They run things by people. I mean, is that how it works in our business? Is that how they do it? They run things by you?
I'm sure you guys.
Let me run this plan by you.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that how it works?
So we're thinking about getting rid of you.
It's not even that. I mean, right? Like switching, moving things around. Do they run things by you? Let me get your thoughts first before we implement this. Yeah. Is that how it works?
No.
I could speak.
But there used to be more teams that kind of had the loyalty. You admired it, but it may not have been a wise decision, right? Paying guys for what they had done and paying them big money going forward when they weren't still worth that money. Don't you think there used to be more of that?
And teams
I think have learned because of the analytics.
Are phonies. They're absolute phonies. It's why you don't ever listen to fans. They're phonies. Everybody pay this. Oh, he's so loyal. We love this guy. And the minute he drops off and you've got this big fat contract, which is hampering the club, they then turn on you. And then they bash you.
Totally.
They're phonies.
The worst position you can be in is the overpaid guy.
Yes.
Right? When you're the overpaid guy that's not performing, you get trashed. I don't care how much.
No, they trash the player and they trash the organization. They turn on everybody.
100%.
Well, and with Shea, it was just they had no choice. I mean, they had to match the offer. And if they didn't, I mean, it was going to set the franchise back. And so David Poyle knew what he had to do. But I think everybody that looks at things realistically and the money involved in that contract, the length of the contract, that there was always that thought that there was no way Shea Weber was going to play for the Nashville Predators for the full length of that contract. I mean, I thought that way, that eventually they were going to have to move on. But so, you're right, Darren, you are. Fans do. I mean, it's, you know, with the wind, whichever way the wind's blowing. I mean, that's just kind of a part of it. But I can certainly understand Casey's feelings, though. But at the end of the day, it just kind of is what it is.
Hey,
and
did
he get rewarded?
Did he get paid here? That's all the organization owes him. They paid him. They gave him a big contract. They rewarded him for his play and the type of person that he was and what he meant to the locker room. That's all they can do. They don't owe him anything past that. That's life.
And I think they don't owe all those guys.
They don't owe that contract to its an entire length. That's not, especially when their contracts aren't guaranteed.
Right, and they didn't cut him. You know, they some teams in that situation. And listen, if the Broncos were not willing to make that deal and nobody else was, they probably would have cut him. Right?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
No, I think
it's at least possible.
Very,
they would have cut
possible.
Him. Kind of like the Panthers. They shopped Cam Newton around, couldn't find any takers, so they cut him. That happens a lot to a lot of veterans. And I guarantee you, if you ask John Robinson or any of the coaches how they feel about Jarrell Casey as a person, they would 100% say, this was nothing personal. He is a class act. We appreciate everything he's done. But that still is not going to make Jarrell Casey feel any better.
Was the Shea Weber PK Subban trade a good trade?
Yes.
Was it a good trade?
I think so.
You think so?
It made sense. Yeah.
You don't know for sure. You think so? You're not positive?
Well, look, we don't know what would have happened if Shea Weber had stayed here. But I do think if I could do it all over again, if I'm David Poyle, I think I would do it.
Well, do we think the injuries would have been better? They wouldn't have happened here, but they happened in Montreal. I mean,
I guess you can't know. You can't know for sure.
Well, can't know for sure, but we have a pretty good idea. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but PK had some issues too, health-wise, for a couple of the seasons that he was here.
Look, I am a huge, as you both know, we as a show are huge fans of Shea Weber. Huge. But come on. Don't say that the trade wasn't a good trade.
It was a good trade.
For the time being, and as we said with PK Subban, it had run its course, but it was a very, very good and productive 3 years. Let's not forget his role. As we reminded fans who were bashing PK on a regular basis, reminding them of his play in the 2017 playoff run to the Stanley Cup final.
Oh,
okay.
Man. When you watch those games,
so don't
back,
tell me. I don't think you need to think. As much as I love and respect Shea Weber, it was the right move. That trade helped them get to the Stanley Cup final. That trade was a big part of them getting to the Stanley Cup final. As much as I respect and love and adore Shea Weber, it was the right move. And then after 3 years, it was the right move to move on from PK Subban. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. To me, in my opinion, those were the right moves. We'll find out. Is Jarrell Casey the right move? Time will tell. Obviously, John Robinson and the Titans felt like it was the right time to move on. Like I said, we'll find out if it was a good move or not. But as much as I think the world of Shea Weber, and we'll always think the world of Shea Weber, that trade changed the course of history in this market.
Darren, you are saying things that I agree with 100%. I think I'm just trying to point out that from the human side, you know, if you feel like you're a good employee, you're working hard every day, that there will be some loyalty back and you will get a little bit of benefit of the doubt, you know, that you're not going to move your family. I mean, and at the same time, I think you're pointing out as a professional athlete getting paid big money, part of the business is you could get traded. Right, you might have to move several times. It's just part of it. That's what you're signing up for. But I still think that human side, is still a legit – that emotion is never going to go away. I just don't blame the player in the short term for having a little bitter feeling, right? And just it's just natural. I think we would all feel like that. Don't you think?
I think sure. It's natural, but I'm just not sure it serves any purpose to go public with it. You can keep that stuff private. I mean, Shea has feelings, okay? He's a human being, and he's got opinions on what happened. But have you read anything about him?
No.
No, I haven't either.
The only thing saying, that's that I probably ever remember best hearing just out of to keep was it. The day the trade happened, he did a conference call. And even then, he was very – he was shocked. I mean, he was honest about that, but he was very respectful.
I'm just saying I'm not sure.
Just like PK. What... You think PK wasn't completely shocked that he was traded by Montreal
Absolutely.
Where he was beloved? Sure. It was the same thing for PK.
Yep.
A couple of texts came in during this conversation. Mike says, I believe it'll only get worse. Look at the crazy high salaries with each new contract. No problem with the players getting what they can. With that also comes the fact that the belt will be tightened in other positions with a cap. Math always will be involved. That's from Mike. Adam says, fans aren't phonies, we are investors. And with all due respect, we are always looking out for number one, and number one is a championship.
Yeah, and you don't have always the answers, okay? I'm saying they go with the wind. I mean, yes, they are investors. You're right. That's exactly right. And fans have a voice. I've said that for a long, long time. You do have a voice, and you do have power. But you also go with the wind. One minute you love somebody, the next minute you hate somebody. It goes that quickly.
And the fans also have had to get used to it. Like, ever since Moneyball has come in and you've started to see this, you've had to, as a fan, embrace for the fact that, you know, when you buy a player's jersey, your favorite guy, and you're like, oh, this guy, he's going to be here for 10 years. They'd never trade so-and-so. And then 2 years later, he's traded. I mean, that's you just have to brace yourself for that. But that is how teams have, honestly, they have gotten smarter about it. But as I'm saying, the casualty has been you really lose that human side where you can fall in love with a player and you know that player is going to be there for the entirety of his career. It's just owners and teams have found out through the statistical data that, okay, Darren, he's making $5 million a year playing shortstop for us, but here's Chase. He's ready to come up. We know that the data says that Chase can give us what Darren is giving us for $1 million. So we're going to find a way to trade Darren his $5 million salary so that we can bring in Chase for $1 million. Decisions are made like that all the time now. Way more teams have figured out more efficiently how to quantify exactly what a guy is worth. Yeah, but in a way, it really stinks.
Yeah, none of those are easy. And I'll ask you this, Darren, because, you know, if Jarrell Casey goes on ESPN and is speaking out, okay, maybe it's a little bit different, but this was a podcast with his friend and his former teammate, so it was a little more laid back. So I could understand. I know people are going to hear it, and it's a public forum, but I can understand him being a little more open and honest, because these are the first comments that I've heard him say, and it's with J-Mac. It's with Jason McCourty that, you know, he was doing that. So that's kind of how I view it, that maybe that – that's why he was a little more open about it. I don't know if he does that anywhere else.
The forum has nothing to do with it, in my mind. Absolutely nothing.
But
don't
with it.
It's the same
on one
reason
hand, isn't
that
the media
players
two-faced
and coaches
when...
go on, you know, in hockey that are from Sweden and they go do an interview in Sweden and they say some crazy stuff and they're surprised when it gets back to the States and becomes a big news. It's like anytime you do an interview,
no,
it's,
you know,
it's
you know
public
it's going
consumption.
To
it's there for anybody in the world to see. Whether it's a podcast or whether it's on ESPN SportsCenter, it's all the same. If you say something, it's going to get around. It's going to make its rounds. You're not safe doing a podcast. It doesn't, you know, shield you from any comments you make. The same way, just because the platform is bigger and it's on SportsCenter, okay, yeah, at the time you may have more eyeballs on it, but if you say something on a podcast, any podcast, or you do an interview in Sweden or Switzerland, and it's attention-grabbing, it'll get back to the States, and it will become newsworthy, and it will become out there for everybody to see and read and hear.
Dead on right. Dead on right. And at the same time, the media also, we have that dilemma that we're always in, right? You're sitting there going, he shouldn't have said it. It doesn't do you any good. But at the same time, we want players to be open and honest, right?
You want to see the human side.
I completely am fine with him and Logan Ryan and everybody that, you know, these tough decisions have been made. I don't blame them. You know, I'm okay with them expressing. I appreciate their honesty because we would all feel the same way.
Well, I mean, I look at it like this. If players weren't open and honest, then we would be doing a lot of interviews and getting no comment as the answer, and nobody wants that. So I just...
But that's okay, too. Like, if that's, as Darren is pointing
out,
that's a practical decision.
Sure, you
have to decide whether you want to do that. So you have those feelings. You can't change those feelings. So it's just a matter of whether you feel comfortable expressing it. If that makes you feel better, then do it.
Like,
and if you'd rather not, then that's fine, too.
The Logan Ryan situation is a little bit different because Jarrell has a contract and he has been traded. Logan Ryan doesn't. And so if Logan, you know, whatever the reports are that he wants this money or the agent's putting this out there, he's still unsigned. So you could make the argument that that's hurt him. So I think the two situations are a little bit different. But with Casey, I mean, I'm fine with him being honest. The guy was hurt. And he needs to express that in some way or some fashion, and he did it with his friend on a podcast.
Let's come back and have you tell us what you know. It's TWIC time. This is what I know on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right. Tell us what you know. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's very simple. Just tell us what you know. This is what we've got on the line. A $25 gift card to Scoreboard Bar and Grill. 615-737-1025. Who wants to start?
I can.
Go ahead.
This is what I know. It's obviously been an eye-opening couple of weeks in our country, and as an avid fan and supporter of the sport of NASCAR, yesterday was a huge day for them. And it had nothing to do with what happened on the racetrack. Before the race, you know, all last week, Bubba Wallace, who is an African-American driver, has been speaking out about the social unrest and the racial inequality in our country. And he challenged his peers to do more about it and to use their platform. And NASCAR and the drivers answered that challenge. Steve Phelps, the president, addressed the drivers and those watching on Fox before the race. They stopped the cars on the front stretch and had a moment of reflection for everything going on. And then they played a video of the drivers that they have released, you know, saying that they are answering the challenge and going to help promote change. And this is coming from a sport with a lot of stereotypes attached to it, a sport that has been predominantly in the Southeast and during a time where you saw the Confederate flag waving at racetracks, and it was just it just had a lot of connections to those ways of thinking. So they still have a long way to go. They have made steps in the right direction over the last few years, but I thought it was a very big moment for NASCAR to make that statement and to have all those drivers unite to one cause. So that's what I know.
I agree with that. I said on Fridays, you just made the list. It was kind of a weird, you just made the list for me, because I brought up something, but I wasn't prepared to really put them on the list because I didn't know what was true or not. It was just really concerning to me and very disappointing to read everything about Project 615, a product that I have and own, whether it's a shirt or a hat. They do a lot of really good things. And I support, and I was very, very much alarmed by what I was reading and very concerned about the direction of Project 615 and their owner, Derek Evans, because the stuff you were seeing out there was not good and not flattering about the company at all, and really all directed toward him, the co-founder. But I didn't really put them on the list because I didn't know what to believe, right? It's just a bunch, and I mean a bunch of stuff out there on social media. Well, since our show on Friday, there was a statement from Project 615's co-founder Derek Evans, a very long and lengthy statement, and it starts off by saying, I am listening, I am learning, I am sorry for the hurt that has been caused, and I am taking a long, hard look at myself because that is where any positive change begins. It is my intention to do better moving forward. We want to be a company that makes this city proud. Like I said, it goes on. It is very, very lengthy. Most of it I felt was productive and good. Some of it still kind of questioned. Is he is he really understand? Although he does end it by saying, I'm committed to doing better, which is quite the different response the first 24 hours of this, where they were blocking and deleting any comment, blocking people, coming out and completely going against some former employees, saying that, you know, this is a problem. There's been a problem with them. They're just a disgruntled employee, and they obviously changed their tune very quickly with this long, lengthy statement. So I hope that this is the start of them moving in the right direction, because I was very concerned on Friday with what I was reading about that company that I really like and support and have their products. But I was certainly not going to, if these things were true. I'm hoping this statement by co-founder Derek Evans that came out after our show on Friday is a step in the direction, right direction, and I truly hope he understands things better now and better moving forward. I don't know. I've never been around him. All I can go on is the really, really concerning things I was reading about the company and him Friday, leading up to Friday, as you just made the list. So this is what I know. Hopefully that is a step in the right direction for them and for Derek Evans.
Absolutely.
Willie?
Well said. Well said. I think this is a great time in a lot of different ways. As we said, the day we went on the air, 1 week ago today, just looking yourself in the mirror, asking yourself, where can I be better? Right? Just doing a little self-evaluation, a little self-reflection. It's good stuff. This is what I know. We're not ready for phase three yet. I watched the mayor's update this morning, as I try to do as often as I can. Today was the first day that our county, Davidson County, was eligible to move to phase three. They're not quite ready yet. And so the message is, I'll just pass it along like our city's leaders did today. The virus is still out there, right? I get caught up in it. I'll be the first to tell you. There are moments where I'm watching baseball this weekend, and I'm having a great time. Hey, let's go. We're out. We're moving. We got games. This is so awesome. But I have to remind myself, right, that just because we're moving forward doesn't mean you can't, it doesn't mean you can stop taking all the precautions. So I think that's the message, right? Because if we don't, we'll have to go, we don't want to go backwards. We want to keep climbing that hill, right? So I'm just reinforcing what is pretty obvious, but guys, I know you're seeing that there are just varying degrees of awareness when you come across people, whether it's in Tennessee or Georgia, which is where I was. You can't mess around with this stuff, right? If we want to keep going to phase three, everybody's got to do what they can, because the virus is out there.
Indeed it is.
Hoping for good news today, right? Yeah. I was hoping to come on today that phase three, we're moving forward. And, you know, I know economically there's factors for that. You know, there's consequences for that, but we have to do this right. And so if you want that economic opening, we've got to do everything we can. You can't just say, well, I'm doing whatever I want, right? We have to all do things that maybe we don't want to do. So be aware, with the distancing and stuff. Just, do it.
Yeah,
that's going to lead to where we all want to go with phase three, phase four.
I was out.
Got to get there.
I was out a little bit this weekend, and I noticed where I went. I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but where I went, less crowds, and the restaurant I went in, they were taking your temperature at the door. They had everybody spread out, so there were precautions being that they took there. But It's just, I echo what Willie said. We just got to keep it going, and then we'll get to phase three.
I'll say this: I've now gone out a couple of times now to restaurants inside, and I have felt that they were doing. I felt safe. I felt like they were doing the best they can absolutely do under the circumstances. I really did. I was not uncomfortable at all. I commend the restaurant scene. At least, you know, like I said, it's just the two that I went to, but I felt that there was no eyebrows raised and there was no question mark over my head going, is that a good idea or why did they do that or why are they not doing that? I didn't have that feeling at all. I felt like they were truly taking every single precaution that they could, and I felt as safe as you could possibly feel in these times walking into a restaurant. So hat tip to the restaurants. I don't know if you guys have felt the same thing or not, but that was my
dealings
twice.
I saw that. We went to, we were on a three-day road trip, so we saw a lot of restaurants. We didn't sit down in any other, you know, we've been at the field all day and stuff like that. We went in to get food a lot of times, and so I observed, and I thought, as you said, Darren, they're doing everything that they can do. And, you know, every other table was full, which is a great sign right there at the maximum capacity that they can be in a lot of cases, but they have to do it right with the spacing and everybody wearing masks. That was good. And this was in Georgia, right? I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how different it might look there as opposed to here. So I thought that was encouraging. So we got to keep moving. You know, we got to get to phase three. You got to get to that next level where we can open up. But to do that, we got to do what we can to keep the spread at a minimum here. We can't
Barrett,
fall back.
Barrett, what do you know?
Hey, this is what I know. The United States could use a whole lot more white men like Coach Popovich. That is one deep individual, and I don't know if you saw his little video he put up, but it was very poignant and deeply moving. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you go and watch it.
Very well said. I have seen it, and others should check it out as well. No doubt about it. I was just receiving a text flying back and forth to Tampa. They're telling me that I would say 30 to 40% of people in the airport wore masks. That's in the airport, though. I'd be curious what was the number on the plane. 30-40% in the airport. Interesting. All right, that'll do it for this hour. We will come back and head east. We will go to Knoxville, and we'll check in with Vince Ferrara, WNML, there in Knoxville. And we do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.